Hey, it's Liz Allison with Off the Track. Thank you for listening to this profile brought to you by Ferguson. Check out more of these podcasts at 1045thezone.com and 1045thezone's app. Matt Cruz, CEO and founder of the Music City Grand Prix. But before that, and before we get into all of that, a lot of people don't realize you were actually a record-setting kicker at MTSU.
Yeah, that'll get you a long way.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't know that. So you're a hometown football player a few years ago. Maybe we won't add up how many years ago, but it's been a few years ago.
It was a few, yeah. And kickers. Some people don't consider kickers football players, but my parents sure did. So I do. It was a great time. It's been great to stay close with a lot of MTSU friends, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later. But MTSU is playing such a big role in the Music City Grand Prix with kind of changing the game as far as how barricade systems are built for events like this. So it's great to show off Nashville, but it's also really great to show off my alma mater and all the great work they do at MTSU.
Yeah, absolutely. What's kind of interesting, because I want to talk about, we're going to kind of go back a little bit before we come forward. When you were at MTSU, as we've already established, and talk about kind of your entry into racing, because I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously you and I have known each other for a long time, and you've known the Allisons for a long time, but your first race you went to with your brother?
Yeah, well, my brother grew up as a huge race fan, and I was more into stick and ball sports. And so he always loved it, took me a few times, obviously, when I was in college. And then as I was getting out of college, was fortunate enough to meet Joey Allison, who was a kicker at Memphis State University at the time. So got to meet Davey, a couple weeks before his unfortunate accident. It really just sort of whetted my appetite for the professional motorsports side. And, not knowing what I was doing, went out probably a year later and bought a car and started a team. And I was the owner, the crew chief, the everything, and knew nothing about it. My poor brother, gosh, I mean, the cars that we forced him to drive, but, it was a great time. I mean, it was just, I wouldn't take those 2 or 3 years for the world. We had a lot of fun, and it was great to do something with my brother. And it was as much about that as anything. And then had the opportunity to progress kind of into the corporate side of motorsports that just, led me to Bruco Motorsports, which, launched me in the professional side of business. But there was an Allison at the beginning of this, Liz. So I blame you.
Yes, right. I've got to love that. So what is it about the industry that hooked you in?
I think there's just so many angles to it. The business side is fascinating in that, it's not a box, and I've always thought of myself as kind of a creative person, and motorsports gives you a pretty wide canvas to really create some things out of whole cloth, as it pertains to sponsorship programs. And, unlike I use football or baseball, it's kind of a box. You have signage, you have radio sponsorship, you have TV sponsorship, where motorsports always kind of gave you that wide opportunity to really create something. One client may really need a branding initiative. Another client may need, corporate entertainment or truly, involving their product into the sport. So, it really gives you, as a creative person, a big wide runway to really create specific things. And that's always kind of, driven me about it. It's fun to, growing up in sports. I mean, you never lose the drive to compete. And so to be able to be around something on a weekly basis where you're truly competing, and even when you're on the business side of motorsports, the dollars that you're creating on the sponsorship side, correlate directly to performance on track. And I really love that. I love that aspect of it.
And you've already mentioned, but you've worn a lot of hats through the years, and primarily with, obviously, NASCAR, because that's what we're talking about. But you were with Bruco Motorsports, Baker Curb Racing. I mean, there's so much history there before we even get to what we're going to talk about, which is the Music City Grand Prix. But all of those elements and all of those pieces have kind of woven together. What do you feel came out of all those experiences that kind of put you in the position that you are today?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'll use motorsports, and then I'll use kind of the following, still with Bruco Marketing Group, which is still probably, they're one of the leaders in activation, and event activation nationwide, but specifically in and around motorsports. Bruco still is game changer as far as, you know, from McDonald's to Zen to General Motors. I mean, they're still very, very involved in motorsports. And in being around motorsports, you kind of see, or I'll use NASCAR specifically, you sort of see the events that work, the events that don't work. And as time has changed and how people's interest has changed and people's time, you know, and people's, you know, the amount of time they're willing to invest in a race weekend, you really start to see the morphing of the races that are more festivals, you know, really, really come to life. I use Talladega as a great example. Michigan's a great example. Watkins Glen is a great example of tracks that really, really embrace the festival aspect of it. And then being around the IndyCar side and seeing the Long Beaches of the world and the Torontos of the world and the St. Pete's of the world, you know, you really step back and say, wow, those are all great events that are more festivals. And selfishly, none of them start with a starting point of being in Nashville, Tennessee. So that was kind of the genesis of, hey, road course, you know, street racing is great. You know, NASCAR festival embracing type events are great, but none of them are in Nashville, Tennessee. And that was sort of the genesis 5 years ago, is, you know, bringing something like that to a better event city. And through that time, Nashville has only, you know, grown at that. I mean, you know, on an annual basis, you know, we host the largest 4th of July festival in America in Nashville. You know, we host the second largest New Year's Eve festival. You know, the NFL draft will never be approached the numbers that Nashville did. You know, the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just Nashville continues to set the bar every time it does an event. And, you know, so this kind of gives us the chance to take it to the next level. I mean, I truly think this will be not our first international event in Nashville, but one of the larger international focused events we've ever had. I mean, we'll have, you know, we'll be broadcasting over 160 countries. And so again, this is just continuing to move the bar for the event world in Nashville.
Do you remember that moment where it just hit you like we need to do this in Nashville?
You know, I felt it. I think it was a Saturday or Sunday, the first home game of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I guess that would have been 17. And at this point in time, we were a year and a half into this, and I truly believed that it could work. But just seeing that massive crowd on Broadway for an event that, you know, that 90% of people out, they weren't getting into the venue, and I was like, wow, this is pretty special. And so, yeah, I probably that, to be honest with you, Liz.
Was there another event, one specific event, that was an inspiration for kind of the initial plans for the Grand Prix?
Well, I mean, I love Long Beach. I mean, I love the longevity of Long Beach, of what they've done. You know, they play the vision we've always played to, is, you know, if half the attendees leave and never see a car, we've done a great job. And that's always been sort of the vision of this, create this amazing festival that's as much about the food, it's as much about the music, in a very convenient downtown walkable venue. And Long Beach fits that mold a little bit. Toronto really fits that mold. You know, this is a, you know, they have a downtown race, you know, down around their soccer stadium. So all of those, but probably if I had to put my finger on one, it's probably Long Beach.
Well, you've kind of answered it a little bit. What made sense about Nashville hosting a street race?
I mean, geographically, it makes sense. Obviously, you know, we're, you know, 55% of the U.S. population is within a day's drive. If you look at the IndyCar TV numbers, this is a huge TV market for IndyCar. You know, you start looking at the support series and the large number of luxury and exotic car clubs in the Nashville community. So I knew the community support was there. And then Nashville just continues to grow as a destination location. And then again, I think most people that do big events, you know, understand that working with Butch Spiridon and the Convention Visitors Corporation is also a game changer. It's just, you know, as Butch told, you know, Roger Penske in a meeting, sir, we just do it different in Nashville. And they do. I mean, it's truly, you know, you understand, once you try to do an event of this, you know, size, and working with Nashville and working with the you know, city government, looking with fire and police, you understand it's just in our city's DNA. And that's what truly will make this work, is the city of Nashville, but again, taking that to a broader scale, you know, the entities that you have to work with, and they just get it. I'm not a simplistic way to put it, but they get it. They understand it. And that's why you see Nashville, you know, move the bar every time they do a large event.
There's been
ultimately it comes down to Nashvillians as well, because ultimately all that can work, but it's all about the person's experience from the time they step foot within the city limits of Nashville, how they're treated from restaurants to hotels to walking down the street. And Nashville, we just do a phenomenal job of taking care of our guests. And all of that reflects on the fan experience. And that's what's so important to us is, you know, if someone leaves and, you know, if they have a bad experience checking into a hotel or a bad experience at a restaurant, you know, it reflects on the overall Grand Prix. And that's what really, you know, helps you sleep soundly at night, is knowing that, you know, the Nashville hospitality industry is the gold standard. And that's very comforting.
There's so much news, obviously, that has been coming out over the past few weeks, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But all of this great news is exciting and wonderful, and we know that we're within months of having this event. But man, it took a long time to get here. Is that lead time that you talk about, that, you know, that 5-year span of really pulling the pieces together, is that the norm? Does it take that long to pull something like this together?
You know, I think it does. I mean, you know, we may have got extended, you know, a year, just for various reasons. But it's, you know, they're all probably in that 3 to 5 year range. It was very, very important for us to have date equity. And when I say that, I mean, you know, we want to be on the same place on a calendar for years to come, so people can kind of set their watch based on our event. So when you start with that as a goal, you know, you've got a lot of moving pieces in the city of Nashville. You know, we're a huge convention destination. So, you know, you want to make sure there's enough hotel availability for not just year one, but year three and beyond. So you start there. We race in and around Nissan Stadium. So obviously, you know, the NFL and the NFL schedule plays into that role. IndyCar, obviously, you know, they have to find a place on the schedule for you. So that plays into the role. And then ultimately, too, kind of the fourth thing that really meant a lot to us was, as we truly see this as our first big international event, the expansion of our international airport here in Nashville, to get a date into August really gets us into that heavy European travel month. And that was important to us. So, you know, that definitely delays the process. And then kind of in the last few months, you know, there was turnover to IndyCar as Roger Penske and Penske Corp purchased the series. So again, I don't want to complain about it, because at the end of the day, I mean, where Nashville was with COVID last, you know, August, had we raced, it would have been tough. So, you know, maybe all things for a reason that we're launching in 2021 versus 2020.
So the obstacles that you had to overcome, there's always those, right? In anything that is at this level, what would you say was the biggest obstacle that you had to overcome?
Oh, it's a great question. I think ultimately it was just the date. And I go back to the questions that, you know, how we just laid it out, is just finding that one date. And that was the biggest obstacle. And again, it took so many people to come together, to make that happen. And that did. I mean, from an IndyCar point of view, this market's extremely important to them. I didn't think it wasn't a huge, you know, obstacle to all time. I'm having trouble this morning. To convince IndyCar why Nashville made sense. It was funny. I told the story at our announcement. So Mr. Penske came in to do a visit on, it would have been late August of this year. And we had earmarked about two to three hours of just going through budgets and site plan and build times. And, you know, I think 10 minutes into it, Mr. Penske looked around the room and said he'd seen enough. He thought it was just time to go racing. So, and again, that's just Nashville. I mean, that's just him seeing with his own eyes what Nashville has become. And it was pretty special when he said that. I remember writing down the time in my date book when he said that, because, like, man, we're a few years into this. I didn't think I'd ever hear those words.
A lot of people think of Nashville as NASCAR country. So for those, you know, for any NASCAR fans that are maybe listening, what's in it for them?
Well, I mean, you know, I think NASCAR fans are like anyone who enjoys quality entertainment. And our event is sure, it's a lot about speed and adrenaline, but it's also a lot about music. It's a lot about the food, and it's a lot about Nashville hospitality in general. So, obviously the speed will be unbelievable. The visuals of racing over the Korean Veterans Bridge. I think that'll be pretty special. I think they'll understand that. And I think it's, again, it all goes back to fan experience as well. And I think, you know, we'll have an unrivaled fan experience because of the attention to detail that our, you know, that our team, you know, on a daily basis, the thought process they're going through from, you know, from locations of, you know, food and beverage to bathrooms to just the whole fan experience. And that's the whole, you know, that's the whole ball of wax we're trying to deliver. I mean, I think on a daily basis, people ask me, you know, what worries me the most. And I always say what worries me is someone leaving and say, well, that was a good time versus, well, that's the best time I've ever had at a racetrack. I mean, that's the best experience I've ever had. That's the bar. And, you know, that's the challenge in front of us. Nashville is too good of a canvas for us not to deliver that ultimate painting. And that's what we, you know, that's what we strive for on a daily basis. And that's what, you know, hope we'll deliver. So, you know, from a NASCAR fan point of view, obviously, you know, side-by-side entertainment, speed, all things that NASCAR delivers on a weekly basis, I think they'll see that and more. Well, and we're fortunate enough, too. We're the hometown of two-time NASCAR champion Joseph Newgarden. I'm sorry, two-time IndyCar champion Joseph Newgarden. So that's a, you know, there's a hometown angle, you know, definitely as well.
Absolutely. Well, and you mentioned it, too. I think that, again, because this is the inaugural event, there's nothing for people to base anything off of as far as what this will be. And you do a beautiful job of really describing the weekend. It's you know, it's not a race that you show up on Sunday afternoon. And you also mentioned the international travelers. They come in and they, you know, they stay a week, they stay 10 days and they're taking everything in. And this event is creating so many opportunities for people to take in the best of Nashville. I mean, we've turned into a foodie town. I mean, obviously we're all about music here, and not just country music, music in general. You know, we have a big film industry here, and certainly, you know, so we're talking about combining the arts, you know, food, arts, music with racing, and that is something that we haven't seen before. And so I would love for you to go into that a little bit more of kind of, and we're going to get into the kind of the course layout and designing the course and all that, but talk a little bit more about the layout of the event to give people a better visual of what they can expect that weekend.
Yeah, so the majority of our event will take place on the east bank of the Cumberland River, you know, in and around Nissan Stadium. And we really, you know, utilized a lot of the assets that stadium and the surrounding areas provide. We want to be a very walkable event, so, you know, very walkable friendly from downtown Nashville. We've also been very cognizant knowing we're an August race. So, you know, any time, you know, we can utilize shade and trees and build fan zones closer to green spaces, you know, we've really taken all that into consideration, because that obviously reflects on the fan experience. But I mean, one of the things that really blew Mr. Penske away was how we were utilizing the stadium looking outward versus looking inward. So to really create some great, our East Side Club, which is one of our premium tickets, you know, allows fans to, if you're familiar with Nissan Stadium, to be in the air conditioned East Side Club, looking out over the racetrack, in an all inclusive environment. That also allows me access out onto the ramps if I really want to get, you know, on top of the track. So, you know, we've really, really looked at, you know, all the assets that are on that side of the river. We'll create some stuff on the west side of the river, more on the downtown side, but the three outdoor music stages will all be on that side. We have three private clubs on that side of the water. And then, you know, a lot of the fan engagement and the fan experience, which is so important to your experience over the course of a weekend, will be programmed on that side of the water. And that's really, you know, and that again is something, you know, we have not taken lightly. That's you know, that's a lot of thought goes into locations of things to add to that experience.
Well, I have people ask me all the time, and I don't know why this is such an interesting point, so I'll let you just put it out there, clear the water. Where is Pitt Road? People always ask me, well, where's Pitt Road?
Well, so Pitt Road is basically an L. So if I'm looking out of Nissan Stadium, looking towards East Nashville, Pitt Road will be directly in Titans parking lot, straight across from there. part of it. The other part, well, if I was looking towards the stadium, there's the road that turns out towards Interstate Drive. So it'll be an L right there, which gives, again, if I'm sitting in the East Side Club, phenomenal views of the finish line, phenomenal views of pit road.
So take us around the course. So we're starting out. We take the green flag. Take us around.
Yeah, so we'll take the green flag. We're a little unique in that we have a different starting line versus finish line, which is somewhat unique. There's some reasons we've done that, but I think it really creates a spectacular you know turn into what we call the first corner. Is technically not the first corner as to how the Indy numbering system will be. But so let's start from coming from downtown. So I'm coming from downtown over the Korean Veterans Bridge. As we approach the bottom, we take the green flag. At this point in time, the track, there's a point where it will widen out to several lanes entering the turn around what is now the 7-Eleven, turning onto Interstate Drive. So we've turned around the 7-Eleven, which is a phenomenal, probably as many as six lanes down to 3.5 into that corner. We'll go down a short straightaway in front of what is the future La Quinta Inn and current Best Western, which that road makes a little bit more of a kink than you think. We will then turn left. That will take us back towards Nissan Stadium. It goes up a little bit of a rise. It actually, somewhat a quick elevation change right there. We will then turn left in front of Nissan Stadium. If you could imagine extending the 50-yard line out of Nissan Stadium through the road in front of the stadium there, that will ultimately serve as the finish line. Then probably about 60 or 70 yards past the finish line, there'll be a kink or a chicane where the track will quickly turn back in to the into the parking lot and then back out. And then we're back down to Korean Veterans now. We will turn right on Korean Veterans and make a long run up and over the Korean Veterans Bridge all the way down to First Avenue. We'll turn left on First. And if anyone can remember the old Copper Kettle, there's a pie-shaped piece of property where the Copper Kettle used to be. This will be a very technical part of the track. So it's a quick up and around that pie-shaped piece of property. And then back down to Korean Veterans, which will begin, the long 2,200-foot straightaway all the way back down to the 7-Eleven that we mentioned. So, long straightaways should be quick lap times. But from a driver point of view, it kind of has, it has a lot of elements. Long straightaways, a very technical section, some elevation changes. So I think Tony Kottman, who is our track designer, did just a phenomenal, job of really taking a blank piece of property and turn it into something that's pretty special, and also too, again, and it maximizes great viewing locations as well, and that's extremely important.
Well, let's talk about safety, because I mean, you talk about the track layout. I mean, this is not like that you pull into into Charlotte Motor Speedway or to Bristol and it's all confined. I mean, it's a street. So how do you do that? How do you make it? How do you confine to all of Indy's safety measures and so on and make this a good, safe racetrack?
Well, and we'll be introducing some of the newest, most cutting edge. From a barricade system, from a block and fencing system, this will be the standard going forward. So I'm literally just passing, just in the past few days, the first round of block has started to show up. So from a block point of view, MTSU has done a phenomenal job of kind of helping take the lead, work with Tony Kottman and some of the other governing bodies to really create a block, not just safer, but the recycled content and the energy efficient building of the barricade system, something we're extremely proud of. And then from a fencing point of view, it's one of the newest cutting edge modular systems that will become the standard, across the industry, over the next few years, but we'll probably be one of the first ones, North America to really unveil that. So, and it's extremely important, obviously, both safety for the fan and driver is paramount in everything we do. And the FIA from a global sanctioning body, they do a phenomenal job of that. So, we hope to take that to the next level.
Joseph Newgarden, you already talked about him. Of course, he's our hometown guy. He's exactly. a big name in the series. There's so many big names in the Indy Series and just phenomenal racing. We know Jimmy Johnson, seven-time champion from the NASCAR side of things, will also be racing in Nashville. So that's been interesting, I know, for a lot of people, just to see how he may do on the course. What type of feedback are you getting from the drivers themselves that will be racing on Sunday afternoon on August 8th?
Well, their enthusiasm has been hard to hide, and I think a lot of that is, you know, the course for sure, but it's just Nashville. I mean, they understand what this does for their sport. I mean, using Nashville to display IndyCar, it grows the sport for sure. So it's been extremely positive from the driver, from the team, and definitely from the team sponsorship side. I mean, these sponsors really look at Nashville as a great way to entertain clients and grow their brands, and that just adds to our overall fan experience. And we knew that was, I felt like that was going to be the case. We were blown away in the first month or so of just the corporate response from the series type sponsors, as to their excitement of can't wait to get to Nashville and really use this as a platform to grow our brands.
And the news just keeps coming out from the Music City Grand Prix. Of course, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was announced, excuse me, a couple of weeks ago as part of the ownership team. Yep. Justin Timberlake, right before that, Justin Marks, who is now a Nashvillian, is part of that owners group. It's a pretty, first of all, eclectic group of owners, and it's pretty cool just to see these people come together as part of this ownership. How did you bring all of these guys together?
You know, that's a great question. It always starts with one. And Teddy Phillips, out of Phillips and Gordon out of Knoxville, was kind of the first guy. And Teddy's kind of been shoulder to shoulder with me on this for, at least 3 years. And it just sort of grew from there. It's all of them bring such creative energy. Some have, no experience in racing. Others are very passionate about racing, but they're all successful in their own right. So we've tried to harness that in so many different ways, and you're right, it just keeps getting better. I think Justin Marks is a great example. Justin is changing the NASCAR ownership model. I mean, what Justin and Pitbull announced yesterday with some of the STEM program they're doing down in Miami, it's just incredibly proud to have people like that as part of this because they get it. Scott Borchetta has been an integral part, for the last several years in this. And, what Scott has done in music over the last, decade is a game changer. So, when you start harnessing that creative energy, really, special things can come out of that. And that's the one thing you'll see for us as an event. We've been very racing focused over the first, the first wave of announcements. Over the next, month to 6 weeks, as we really start laying out some of that music vision, I think people really, really will sit back and say, wow, this has a chance to be something really special. And it hits on something you said earlier too, Liz. Nashville is not just a country music. Country music is a phenomenal, piece of the city, but we're not just a country music, city. And our music offerings will reflect that for sure.
People are already referring to the Grand Prix as a bucket list item, like a must do event for the year. And I know we've talked about COVID. I mean, there's so many people that are just itching to get out and want to do so many different things. And this is something that's new. It's exciting. It's got to make you feel good that people have that circled. And it's like, man, if I can do one thing, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, we don't take that lightly. I mean, that is not a, people giving up their hard-earned time and hard-earned money to come be a part of something that you and your team are putting on. We don't take that lightly. We don't take that lightly. We also don't take lightly that we're representing Nashville. So everything we do, as I say, people's experience is a reflection on our event. Well, the experience we deliver is a reflection on Nashville, and we're all extremely proud Nashvillians. And we don't take that, we don't take that lightly, and we understand, the city has generously, given us a weekend. I guess is the best way to describe it, and we want to make sure we deliver, and continue to grow our city.
Lots to do, many things on the line with sponsors, certainly fans, the industry, our community. How do you do all that? How do you make everybody happy?
We got a phenomenal team. I mean, we have so many people in our organization that are true leaders in their field. So, it starts with that. I mean, it starts with the team, and then it starts with you know, starts with a team, then it starts with partners. I mean, the organizations that you partner with for various pieces to deliver the vision is extremely important. And I feel like we've done a great job as a team to really align ourselves with some of those, you know, with some of those people it takes to really pull things like this off.
And so last thing, of course, tickets have already gone on sale. They went on sale last week. And so I know that you and I have talked about it. The premium ticket has been one of the fastest to go. I mean, there's so many different types of ticket packages and add-ons. And I know there's things for the kids. And there's so many more, as you already said. There's so much more news to come with different things that will be going on in and around race weekend. But tell everybody where they can get their tickets.
Yeah, musiccitygp.com. Walk you through a lot of the, you know, all the experiences and all the different you know ticket availability, and also too, it's just another great place to go, kind of, you know, taking in and see the vision of what this event, you know, is going to be for the city. So encourage people to go there and really, you know, it's probably a more engaged ticket, you know, ticket buying procedure than most, because there is a lot, you know, experiences and opportunities other than just, you know, picking your seat. You know, our three private clubs are, you know, our Club RPM, our Eastside Club, and our Starting Line Club, all, you know, are different price points, but all really give you, you know, a very all-inclusive type weekend experience. And then from a viewing point of view, you know, they've done a great job of really creating some grandstand opportunities that really highlight some of the, you know, the high points of the track.
Okay, so the last thing, I know I said the last was the last thing, but I'm going to have one more last thing. So if I had a magic wand and I could say, I grant you one wish for race weekend, what would that be?
Oh, it's a great question. Just one. Okay. You know, is it everybody that we meet expectation for what this event can be, and we represent our city to its fullest capacity. You know, I mean, it's easy to say, gosh, you want great weather, you want this, but we want to meet and exceed expectation, because that's what the city does. And, you know, I don't think anybody expected the NHL playoffs to be what they were. I don't think anybody expected the draft to be to the level it was. And we want to be that same thing. It was like, God, we knew it was going to be great. We never expected that. So that would be it. I mean, that we, you know, we exceed expectation because, you know, we set the bar really high. And if we do that, it's going to be a phenomenal event.